From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in beautiful Zona Rosa, welcome to Minutes to Memories, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
This is Dr. Drumright. Happy Friday. Another week has gone by. Kids are back in school. Everything's rolling across America. And the sun is nice. 70-some-odd degrees here in Kansas City. A beautiful Berry View Castle.
Yeah, beautiful and Berry View Castle.
If you've ever been seeing it, it looks like a castle. It's got copper top roofs. It's a very interesting building built about 25 years ago. And it's the roof starting to leak quite a bit lately. So lots of fun around here. No, you're on the end. This studio's on the inside, so we don't have to worry about it. But you get on the outside edge. It's kind of fun in a rainstorm lately. So Friday night, we're going to whip up the show tonight. We're going to do a couple other verses of the Tao Te Ching like we have been doing. And tonight, we're going to talk about a couple disease processes and some options you may have of how to handle these disease processes. So let's dig right in here. This is Dr. Drumright. By the way, you can get a hold of me at my clinic at 816-436-9355. That's the clinic number to set an appointment to come in and talk to me. If you hear about me on this radio show, I will definitely give you a free consultation. Come in and talk and see if I can help you. Tao Te Ching, verse number 13. Identity. Identity. Accolades can usher in great trouble for your body. Censure can herald misery. Why can favor and disfavor both be harmful? Because both accolades and censure, when filtered through self as ego, always place us in jeopardy. But when the universe becomes yourself, when you love the world as yourself, all reality becomes your haven, reinventing you as your own heaven. Only then will you transcend tense to fully be here now. Only then no harm will the universe proffer, nor you to her, for you will be not you, but she and both the universal integrity. Commentary from Dr. Dale. Both praise and criticism can result in harm when we relate to the world through an insatiable ego. That is because when so doing, each honor generates a need for an even greater honor, and each dishonor generates a lower self-esteem. In this way, honoring and dishonoring both can result in dissatisfaction leading to a pathological state of body, mind, emotions, and spirit. However, when we identify ourselves inextricable parts of the universe, rather than as our separate individual egos, accolades and criticisms, success and failures, no longer have power over us, but are accepted as an intrinsic and harmless aspect of participation in the process. The transformation from predominant ego identity to predominant community identity is one of our joyful pathways to the great integrity. I think just I like to put things into simple words. What this is meaning is the more you highlight your distinction and your separation and why you're special, the less you understand the true meaning of what it is to be human as part of the great integrity or part of the great universal knowledge that is. Verse 14. Beyond reason. That which we look at but cannot see is the invisible. That which we listen to but cannot hear is the inaudible. That which we reach for but cannot grasp is the intangible. Beyond reason, these three merge, contradicting experience. The rising side isn't bright, their setting side isn't dark. Senseless, unnameable, they return to the realms of nothingness. Form without form, image without image, indefinable, inelucidable, elusive. Confronting them, you see no beginning. Following them, you see no end. Yet riding the plowless plow, concede the timeless thou. Harvesting the secret, transcending of the now. I tell you what, on that one, I'm going to need to read the interpretation. And some of these are just go way deep. Commentary. What is beyond sight, hearing, and touching? Even beyond reason and experience, a world without the rising light or the setting darkness, where there is neither form nor image, neither beginning nor end. It is the elusive, indefinable, and paradoxical great integrity of the universe, the Tao, which transcends time, space, and matter. What use for the great integrity do we human beings have when we are absorbed in acquiring 10,000 possessions? None. Even worse, it subverts our false values, premises, goals, and institutions. The great integrity is an invitation to the most radical transformation of our lives and consciousness. It is a challenge to transcend civilization as fragmentation, an open door to re-enter life with an uncompromised humanity totally synergistic with the universe. Because it is subversive, the great integrity appears in disguise as a secret transcendence. I, you know, if I had to interpret all that, what I would suggest that this is saying is that like my trip to China, they talked about is to try to describe the Tao directly is like trying to describe the moon. You can point to it, but you can't actually touch it.
Right.
You can see the light coming from it, but you can't actually get to the moon itself. And they like to say the finger points to the moon, but the finger's not the moon. So when they say that you're reaching for the great integrity, the only way there is to understand that nothing that you can see, touch, smell, or taste is the great integrity or Tao. It's only clues towards the direction of the path of the great Tao. That's enough for that for now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deep today.
Yeah, it went way deep today. There's 81 verses of this, and we're moving towards about 20% done. I want to keep doing the show, starting off with a couple of those, but just because they really open your mind up and get you thinking in some positive directions. So a couple things I want to hit on tonight. Beyond that, it's fall. The schools have been telling you to vaccinate your kids. I think I've told you many times before that in 48 out of 50 states in America, you can sign exemption forms and avoid that toxic dose to your child and protect your child from that falsity. What we do around our office is we call this supertonic time. Supertonic is a tincture that I have recipes for. You can get it from my blog site. Just look up supertonic, and we pass out flyers here at the office. But I'm going to give you the recipe really quick here. And the recipe is very easy, and see if I can just do it off the top of my head. One white onion, whole white onion. One bulb, garlic, not the clove, the whole bulb. Okay. Four cayenne peppers. Okay. One 4 ounce chunk of ginger. You know, you go to the store and get ginger and you grate up the ginger. And let's see what we got there. We got onion, garlic, cayenne pepper, ginger. Oh, and horseradish. One about 2 to 4 ounces of horseradish. Now, the horseradish is the one that's hardest to find in its raw form. In a lot of grocery stores, you can get the ginger, you can get all these other things, but the horseradish you won't be able to find raw. So what I recommend you do is you go to the canned food sections, and they'll have some unprocessed, just basically ground up horseradish. Not the sauce. You want the straight horseradish. Okay, and you take these things and you chop them up. You don't have to be in small pieces. You chop them up and you throw them in your blender, and you pour a quart of vodka over them. Okay, so 1 quart vodka. Hit the blend, get it all blended up, and then you pour a quart of vinegar over the top of that. Once you have this blended up, it basically makes about a half a gallon. You have a half a gallon, and you want to leave the pulp in for now, and put it in a covered glass jar, and then once a day for 14 days, shake it up and get the pulp mixed in to get all the medicinal carbohydrates out of the herbs. And then on the 14th day, you can sift out the pulp, and it is prepared and ready to go. Now, if you have a cold or flu or sore throat, you don't have to wait the 14 days to start using it. What you can do is take a spoon and kind of sift off the top. Some of the questions I have about this, because some people really don't like alcohol, is what I recommend you do is called flashing. So you make it with the alcohol, but then when you take your tablespoon a day, you take the tablespoon and then you just put it a little flame underneath the tablespoon for just a couple seconds, and alcohol boils off very readily. And I don't remember the exact temperature, but it's much lower temperature than the water. So with just a couple flashes of a burner, lighter, whatever it is, you can burn off or evaporate the alcohol out of the tablespoon, and then you can take the tonic without the alcohol. Now, it's important to use the alcohol during the preparation of the tonic because the alcohol as a solvent will dissolve the carbohydrate essence out of these herbs. And the vinegar is more acidic. It gets other pieces of the herbs out, but it doesn't get the parts of the herb out that the alcohol is getting to. So you need to use the alcohol during the preparation. And honestly with you, I mean, this is onion, garlic, cayenne pepper, ginger, horseradish, vodka, and vinegar. If you can drink enough of that to actually get a buzz, you're way better man than I am. I mean, this will be very strong. For children, you can water it down quite a bit. Take a couple eyedropper and put it in 2 or 3 ounces of water to thin it out. You can put it in orange juice if it's really intolerable for a child. But this is a cure-all for the season, for asthma, allergies, colds, flus, headaches, sinuses. It is the flu shot around Harmony Health Systems. You don't go get a vaccine. You go make some super tonic. And in the fall, I challenge my patients to bring me little vials of their super tonic. So I get all kinds of different flavors. I have people that have used habanero peppers in the super tonic. That's good. I like it. It's tasty, but it's definitely, if you're not used to hot sauce, it definitely will light you up. I've had people use all organics. I've had, you know, all kinds of different qualities of super tonic that come in. Some people will sift them out. What I suggest you sift it with is an old t-shirt or something, cotton like that, because the pulp is quite thick and coffee filters are it doesn't work. It's not firm enough to filter this out. But I've seen people use cheesecloth and double or triple filter it, so it comes back in this really golden, beautiful color. The stuff that when I make it myself, I leave some of the pulp in, so you have to shake it every time you use it because some of the mothers, they call it, the carbohydrate herb will still be in the jar, and you have to shake it up to get that mixed up back in there. Okay, so that is the recipe for the fall super tonic that replaces the vaccines. Tonight we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to talk about heart disease, one of the number one killers in America today. And we're talking about what really is heart disease and some options you may have, natural methods of preventing or even reversing the process of heart disease. And then later on after that, we will talk about childhood ear infections and maybe hit some acupuncture points as well. All right, Todd, I'm going to go ready for first break. And then we'll hit some music here, and then we'll come back and we'll get into these diseases. Everybody grab a cold one, chill out, listen to some music. I'll be back in a minute.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Hey, this is Dr. Drumright. Welcome back. Harmony Health Systems, Minutes to Memories, the name of the radio show. We're going to dig into something here that's like, it's called the number one killer in America today. It's called heart disease. What is heart disease? Well, heart disease is a situation, they call it atherosclerosis, arterial sclerosis. It's a decaying factor of the arteries as they get brittle and hard as you age. The typical medical model is they diagnose this through blood tests and checking for cholesterol and these kind of things, and then they give you powerful chemicals to try to force the cholesterol under control. Well, we'll get into cholesterol in a minute as why it is connected but not causative to heart disease. So what is heart disease caused by? Well, current evidence supports that heart disease is actually a chronic form of scurvy. You ever heard of scurvy? Scurvy is what the sailors in the old days would get because they were out on the seas eating salt pork and not getting enough vitamin C. You see, vitamin C is very important for the formation of a molecule called collagen. Your collagen is the stretchy stuff inside your body, between your muscles, underneath your skin, in the arteries. And when the body has trauma, it has a choice of two different kinds of proteins to use to rebuild that traumatized tissue. It has collagen or fibrinogen. Fibrinogen is formed in a condition of not enough vitamin C because vitamin C is required to form collagen. Collagen is the stretchy young stuff. It's what you want to keep your skin young. You want more collagen. You hear models injecting collagen underneath for the wrinkle control and these kind of things. It's a protein that your body makes quite readily in the presence of vitamin C. Well, the human body is almost unique in the animal kingdom is that the human body and guinea pigs are the only mammals that we know of that don't produce their own vitamin C. All the other animals, your dogs and your cats, their enzyme pathways or their body actually produces its own vitamin C to the tune, if you were making your own vitamin C, you'd be making 15 to 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day for utilization. Now, I don't know anybody that consumes 15 to 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day unless they're living on a tropical island eating oranges and bananas and pineapples all day long. For the rest of us, especially here in the Midwest where it's steak and potatoes time, vitamin C, chronic vitamin C is a problem. So what happens if you have acute scurvy or acute vitamin C is the collagen throughout the body, in the blood vessels, underneath the skin, suddenly breaks down and you begin to bleed out the eyes and bleed out the nose and bleed anywhere and everywhere you touch. You see old men that have been taking these Coumadins and these blood thinners. Well, one of the things that these drugs do is they destroy collagen, so they break down the skin. It bruises easy, it turns purple easy, and you have a large problem because the chemicals you're taking to thin the blood for a condition of chronic vitamin C deficiency is actually making the problem worse because it's depleting the antioxidant vitamin C from the system, making the problem you're trying to treat even worse. So you see how that spirals out of control. So collagen is important for the arteries because your arteries are under constant pressure. You've heard of blood pressure, systolic and diastolic and all these big words. Basically what that means is your blood vessels have a consistent, constant pressure in them at all times. This is called the diastolic pressure. The diastolic pressure is normal, about 80 to 90 millimeters of mercury. You don't want that to get below 60 millimeters of mercury because the arteries will begin to collapse when the blood pressure drops down below a certain level. So you want some blood pressure to keep tone and tension in the arteries, keep them flowing, but not too much blood pressure because it'll stretch them and damage them. And that's where the vitamin C comes in. Now, the systolic is the pulse pump. When the ventricles of the big parts of the heart squeeze down, they shove a bunch of blood out into the body, and it increases the pressure in those arteries temporarily as it thump, 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 it pushes it out, and you get this elevation of pressure and then a drop back down to base pressure as the blood kind of coasts for a split second. So you get a pulse surge and then a coast, and then a pulse surge and a coast as the heart whoomp, 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 goes through its cycle. So the systolic is the top point, is when the heart is at its strongest pressure beat, is what the blood pressure is. You want that around 120 to 150. You don't get nervous when it gets above 170, 180, gets up in those numbers. You want to start, something's going on here, and you want to do something to lower your blood pressure. And we'll talk about natural ways to do that and maybe later today or some other time. Let's get back to heart disease. So heart disease, understood from a cellular standpoint, is chronic scurvy. It's not so deficient in vitamin C that your body's going to collapse in a heap and bleed to death, but you're having a low-grade deficiency of vitamin C. And you see, when the heart does its pumping and the whoomp, 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 as it increases that pressure, it creates micro tears in the lining of the arterial walls. Just from the normal process, this happens. So when you get these micro tears, you need collagen around and available to repair these on a moment-by-moment daily basis. So you see, what happens is, if you don't have sufficient vitamin C around, and especially like you do something very strenuous, so you suddenly increase the blood pressure just temporarily, it's not going to kill you or anything, it compensates for the increased output. This creates micro tears in the arterial linings, and these micro tears have to be healed. If there's not enough vitamin C around, then they heal using fibrinogen. And fibrinogen is a rough, rigid molecule versus the smooth, stretchy molecule of collagen. It does the job. It repairs the micro tear. But what happens is, it's very important in a fluid dynamic environment, kind of like your plumbing of your pipes, that if you have fluid that has particulate matter, which means stuff floating in it, kind of like sand in a water as it's flowing by, and you create a bump in the smooth wall, then it creates an eddy. It creates a circular flow, which slows down the velocity or the speed of the fluids in that area, and the sand begins to settle out. So if you have any kind of, and you do, you have dead blood cells, you have different things that are floating around in the blood, and you get these micro tears in the lining of the arterial wall, and they're healed with fibrinogen versus collagen, it makes a kind of a rough surface. And when you have a rough surface and a fluid dynamic or fluids moving across with little pieces in them, those pieces will slow down as the fluid slows down, and they'll settle out just behind that micro tear. And you'll get a buildup of what they call plaque. Okay? So plaquing is occurring because of the micro tears and the lack of vitamin C and healing back to a smooth surface. So this allows dead cells and other inert material to deposit downstream. So how can you keep this from happening? Well, we go back to the cause. If the cause is a deficiency in vitamin C, what do you think you got to do to keep this from happening? Eat more vitamin C. Okay, the way to prevent it is lifestyle modifications. Okay, there's been studies recently of people that went in with heart disease, and they come out and they start exercising and start drinking their water, start taking their vitamin C and taking care of themselves better and taking possession of their own body. And they come back 2 years later for a complete clean bill of health. Blood pressure is under control. Cholesterol is under control. The heart disease is quite literally reversed. Now, if you saw my YouTube video this week, I was very excited about putting that together. My emphasis or point for the week was the regenerating power of the body, that your body as a whole is only 6 weeks old. Well, the cells that make up the lining of your arteries, you got to think about this. Your arteries are made up of cells. Your muscles are made up of cells. The cells are in between the arteries and the muscles. Everything is these little tiny cells. So in between the cells, as they die and get torn apart and have to remend themselves, that's where you get the collagen. It's like the mortar in between the bricks. It's the sticky stuff that sticks the cells together. So you increase the vitamin C. What I recommend is about 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. You increase your hydration. And then another thing you do to reverse heart disease is, since it's a buildup of plaque from a slowdown of the blood as it flows by, is you want to exercise. You want to stay active, get up, and keep moving around. The exercise increases the velocity or the flow of the blood, and when the blood's flowing more smoothly, it doesn't settle out, and you don't get this plaquing effect. So can you reverse it? Oh, yeah, you can reverse it slowly with lifestyle changes, with the increased exercise and yoga, stretching, and vitamin C. You can reverse this process because your body's only 6 weeks old, so you start changing your behavior and your environment and what you're exposing the body to. It will begin to regrow itself properly. Okay, so that's the plaquing and the artery disease. Well, to stay on the same topic here, I want to talk about cholesterol. All right, what is cholesterol? Cholesterol is a big, fluffy fat molecule, basically, that animals are made out of. Well, your body is an animal. It's made out of cholesterol. And your brain especially is made out of cholesterol. They say your brain is somewhere up to 95% cholesterol. So if your brain is made out of cholesterol and your body's made out of cholesterol, why do they keep telling you that cholesterol is bad? What's bad about what your body's made out of? Well, it comes to find out there's different types of cholesterol. You have, and you've probably heard this before, you have high-density cholesterol and you have low-density cholesterol, what they call good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and then free-floating cholesterol. Let me try to explain that to you. You see, a cholesterol is carried around in the body in what's called a chylomicron. Then that's another big word. It means it's a molecule of protein and fat mixed together. And a high-density cholesterol molecule is recently manufactured by the liver, and it has a lot more protein than it does fat. So the reason why they call it a good cholesterol is because when it was released into the bloodstream, it wants to collect free fats and free cholesterol and pile it onto itself. So it's kind of a cleanup. It's a vacuum to get rid of all the bad cholesterol and pile them into one thing so they can take it back to the liver for recycling. So you want lots of HDLs or high-density lipoproteins, high-density cholesterols in the system. And the way to get that is exercise. You have to pump the muscles and pump the heart and get things active for it to produce its own HDLs. So LDLs, that they call the bad cholesterol, your low-density lipoprotein, they're low-density because they have a lot more fat in the molecule than they do proteins, because proteins are much more dense than the fats. These molecules are big and fluffy molecules and should be recycled. If you don't have enough high-density lipoproteins around to grab up the free-floating cholesterol, you're going to wind up with a lot of these low-density lipoproteins. And they're a problem in that they don't have a good capacity to pick up any more free radicals or any more free cholesterol floating around, and they'll float around and clog things up. Now, this is where we get into trouble, and this is where vitamin C comes back in. You see, it's not really the HDLs and the LDLs that cause the problem. It's more like the young, fresh cholesterol is good and the old, rancid cholesterol is bad. Cholesterol, just think about raw milk. Raw milk will curdle and clump after it gets old. It may not be spoiled yet, but it will start to clump because the fat molecules begin to cluster together. And that's what happens if your body's not recycling the cholesterol through the liver rapidly enough, that you'll get this old cholesterol running around the system that can't pick up, it's not doing you any services, it can't pick up any free-floating fats anymore, and it begins to go rancid and begins to be clumpy. And these clumpy cholesterol molecules, of course, when you have lack of vitamin C, you have the tearing of the arterial lining, and we go back to the spinning or the eddying and the slowdown of the blood and the particles fall out, you get a buildup of these cholesterol plaques in the arteries that aren't being exercised and properly without a proper nutrition of vitamin C available to them. So cholesterol, let's see, the numbers that you want to look for are in this. This is old-fashioned numbers. It was before 2000 when they came out with Lipitor and changed the numbers arbitrarily just to increase their market by about 20 million people. It's about 260. You want your serum cholesterol under 260. But the most important thing is what's called a cardiac risk factor. Your cardiac risk factor is when you divide your high-density lipoproteins, your HDLs, into your overall cholesterol level. So if your overall cholesterol level is 300, but your HDLs are 60, your cardiac risk factor is 5, which is still good. You want your cardiac risk factor under 6. So if you're your typical person, you'll have a 210 or 220 cholesterol. You'll go to the doctor and they'll say, oh, no, that's high. Well, they say that's high because since 2000 and the introduction of the patented drug Lipitor, they were given a new set of instructions of what the norms were. There was actually two studies released in the same year. One of them showed that lowering the cholesterol, they did a five-year study on about 40,000 people and found that the people with the lower cholesterol versus the high cholesterol actually had no increase in heart attacks or any relationship to heart attacks or strokes. That's why when you see the cholesterol commercials, there's no claim that they cure heart attacks or strokes or anything like that. They just lower your cholesterol. But then 2 weeks later, the same year as April, another study came out that studied 11 people that all had recently had severe heart attacks, and they were in the hospital for severe heart attacks, and they gave these people high levels of statins and radically reduced their cholesterol down into the 120 to 150 mark, and they found that a majority of these patients who just had a heart attack had a less of a chance of having another heart attack if they aggressively lower the serum cholesterol with these statins. So you have two studies, one that's very large and very long, five-year study, and another one which is a very small population and a very tightly knit parameters of the research. And yet the media ignored the first one and then extrapolated the second one to say, look, we found that if everybody lowers their cholesterol radically by use of these statins, we can reduce the risk of heart attack. When that's not what the study said at all. I read the study. The study said if you just had a massive heart attack and then you use statins to radically reduce your cholesterol, you reduce your risk of having another heart attack. And there was only 11 people in the study. So we see the propaganda machine kick in at that point, and they took it out and they created the advertisements and they created the thing, and they just expanded that study out to create a situation where now, 10 years later, when you go to the medical doctor and have your blood work done, he's taught now that it has to be under 200 instead of under 260, which is what they were taught before that those studies came out. So if you're going in and your cholesterol is 210 or 220, ask them what your HDLs are. And if your HDLs at that point are 50 or 40 or anywhere up in that area, your cardiac risk factor is wonderful. You're good to go. Still exercise. Remember to take your vitamin C and stay on top of it. Remember, it's your body. It doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to me. And call me if you have any questions. 436-9355. This is Dr. Drumright, ready for another break. We'll see you in a minute.
distant counters just near us to my grave.
Jackalope 105 FM.
So, for the rest of the night, I'm going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. And I know that I spend most of my time on the air trying to teach you how to take care of yourself and how to be your own doctor. But there's a few things that, and actually my wife's very happy about this, but there's a few things that you just can't do by yourself. These are things that you need a chiropractor for. A chiropractor is an 8 years of education. They're a trained physician in all diagnostics. They can read your blood work. They can read your x-rays. They can read your MRIs. They can talk to you on a one-to-one basis about creating a plan to help you restabilize and recover from whatever imbalance may ail you. Many of the imbalances, like heart disease and these kind of things, the chiropractor doesn't treat these problems. He teaches you how to recover from the problems by changing your understanding of your body and who you are, and giving you exercises and things that you can go home and do on your own. But there's a few things that you're just not going to be able to get by yourself. And excuse me. The pinnacle of these is a herniated disc. Okay. Herniated disc. What is a herniated disc? It's a your spine is a series of bones called vertebrae and a soft, spongy, fibrous shock absorbers that are in between the bones that are called vertebral discs. These discs, through trauma or wear and tear or arthritic degeneration or different reasons, can become weak and actually begin to poke out from around where they're supposed to be. When they poke out like that, the other important thing about the spine is it not only is it support structure for your body to keep you standing upright, but it also houses your central nervous system, which is, I like to say, your CPU, your central processing unit, is your brain and your spinal cord. This is where the computer sits. So your arms and your stomach and your legs are all peripherals, and they plug into the CPU at the spine like a USB port. So every segment of the spine as you go down is a series of two USB ports, one on each side. You have one for the arms, you have one for the stomach, one for the lungs, one for the kidneys, one for the bowels, a couple for the legs because you got different parts of the legs. So all the way up and down the spine, you have this series of wires that plug into the CPU. Unfortunately, it's not uncommon for these support structures and the spongy shock absorbers in between to rupture or bulge or herniate. These are all words that basically mean that the integrity of the shock absorber is broken down and it's beginning to push out and clip into or pinch on a nerve. Now, if this problem gets severe enough, you can actually lose function in the organ that that particular nerve covers. And we have words like sciatica or carpal tunnel syndrome or these kind of things. These are all situations where the nerve that controls your CPU or your brain and the portion of your body, your leg, for example, is disconnected because at the spine there's something crimping or pushing on the nerve, and it's like unplugging the USB cable. So like a printer, if you unplug the USB cable on the printer's still on, the light still works, it just doesn't work with the CPU anymore, it doesn't do what you want it to do. And the CPU gets all kinds of alarm messages saying, we've lost this printer doesn't work. And that's what the pain messages and the numb messages are, is these signals coming in from the periphery back to the CPU, your brain, where you live, letting you know that something's out of balance. So if you have a herniated disc, your medical doctors are going to give you options of injections. They like to inject cortisone into these to reduce inflammation. They like to inject morphine or different pain relievers into these to numb them out for a while. And if it's really severe enough, they will recommend a surgical procedure where they can trim the disc or fuse the vertebrae or do all kinds of pretty radical things. Now, I've been a chiropractor for 18 years, and I've seen hundreds of cases of severe herniated discs, people that come into my office on crutches or wheelchairs, and we initiate a treatment protocol of chiropractic where we isolate where the herniated disc is, and then we begin a slow procedure of literally pushing the disc back in where it belongs. And when we first start the procedure, it's not very comfortable for the patient. So it takes a lot of comforting, a lot of talk, and a lot of, and we use some acupuncture sometimes to for pain control during those first procedures. But I'm concluding a patient right now that had a couple herniated discs and had muscle wasting, which means one leg was smaller than the other, and was pretty much given up, no hope, and scheduled for surgery. And we're at the end of about a 2-month period, which, like we say, 6 to 8 weeks to regenerate. And he's on the golf course, not every day yet. He was reporting today that his pain in his butt and his leg are intermittent now, which means occasional. They're not constant. The muscle tone in his legs has completely recovered. His damaged leg is now actually stronger than his other leg. So we've had to modify his exercise programs to begin strengthening both sides. And it's very shortly we're going to move back off on my interaction with him. And my goal with these kind of situations, and I've done hundreds of them with multiple herniated discs, they if they follow through on the interactive care with the chiropractic and the potential acupuncture, within a couple months, they're 90% functional. Within a couple more months, they've forgotten why they come in. But then the ultimate goal is, and with full honesty, is to get them to the point where they're coming in once a month for maintenance. The problem is no longer apparent. It's not bothering them. They can go about their lives. But I've just seen through experience that if you go too long between chiropractic wellness checkups or maintenance services, kind of like Jiffy Lube, the problem will re-flare. So we haven't totally regenerated it back to before the injury, but we have stabilized the condition so that you can go on with your life without any indication or problems as long as you own it and maintain it for the rest of your life. And that's just the honest facts of it. So when it comes to a severe spinal problem like that, it's not going to get better by itself. The 5 most dangerous words in the English language, or maybe it will go away. That'll just get you in trouble. If a pain syndrome or something goes on in your body and it's lasting more than a couple days, it's a good idea, if you can't figure it out yourself, to call a chiropractor, call a conservative physician, and have them have a look at it to see if there's something simple going on here that they can fix. Many times, if you get to it quick, it won't develop into a herniated disc. Herniated discs are typical either a severe injury, but more likely, they're 30 years of decay. They're an injury that happened in high school football, but your big, tough guy, and you just live with it and walk funny with it and, you know, tolerate it for 30 years. And then I see you in my office when you're 45, 50 years old, and all of a sudden your back's blown up and you can't walk anymore. And you don't know why, because you didn't do anything. Well, you didn't do anything in the last 30 years. But back when you were a kid, your parents didn't tell you about chiropractic. So you got it torqued out of place, learned to live with it. Now you can't live with it anymore because your body's drying out a little bit. The good news on that, though, is chiropractic can help no matter what age you're on, no matter how long it's been going on. Find a good chiropractor. Start working with them on a regular basis. It's not a magic wand. It's not going to instantly cure you, although sometimes it does, and boy, does it make me look good when that happens. But the more common situation is you have to go through a healing process. You have to work together for a couple months. And if you do that, your odds of drastically improving your life and regaining the youthful vigor of your back are phenomenal, 90, 95%. I mean, it almost always works. Very, very rarely do we have a case that just doesn't seem to want to respond to chiropractic. And those particular cases are usually because there's another disease process going on that's withering the body and it's just unable to respond. Or on the rare occasion, I have somebody who identifies with their pain so thoroughly that they don't want to get rid of it, really, unconsciously. They don't want to get rid of that pain because that's how they identify who they are. And when I start getting rid of it, they actually get mad at me because how dare you change me or eliminate my excuse for conversation. And people get attention for having pain. Luckily, that's not the majority by any means. It's just occasionally I see somebody like that. So I try to hit them with the knowledge that, you know, this still will work if you would just let it please don't go tell your friends that chiropractic, that you tried chiropractic and it didn't work. It's because the fact is you really didn't try chiropractic and you didn't give it a chance. So try not to blame chiropractic for your failure. And of course they will, because that's the kind of people they are. So one other thing that I want to talk about. So herniated discs, please go to a chiropractor. They're very effective at it. I know that I've had lots of experience with it, and I give a 90%, 95% recovery rate if you follow through on the treatment plans. One other thing that I want to talk about that chiropractic is very, very helpful for, and we just had a case this week, is childhood ear infections. You hear me talk many times about vaccinations and how my children aren't vaccinated and the research isn't solid that vaccines have anything good for you. Another thing that children do have issues with is the inner ear, what we call the Eustachian tube, is a drain pipe that drains the inner ear into the throat. When you're an adult, this drain pipe is angled down from the ear to the throat at about a 45-degree angle, so gravity helps it drain out. But when you're an infant or a small child, the skeletal system hasn't developed properly, so the angle of the Eustachian tube tends to be nearly horizontal or straight across. So if you get any kind of interference, if they sleep funny or twist their head in certain ways, and especially aggravated by teething when the teeth start coming in, the teeth will cause a local inflammatory process and a local fever to prevent any kind of infection following up with the teeth eruption as it breaks through the skin. So when you get this slight increase of inflammation in the area, this can irritate the Eustachian tubes. And when the doctor looks in the ear and the kid's been tugging on the ear, sure enough, the ear looks red on the inside, but they jump to a big conclusion here that means there's some bacteria growing in there and you have some kind of infection happening. Very most likely, it's not an infection right off the bat, but when they give the antibiotics, it strips the bacteria out of the gut, out of the colon, out of the skin, and it leads to all kinds of other problems, asthma, allergies, and things down the road. A much better, more wholesome way to do this is if you have children and they're tugging on their ear and you've heard of the ear infections, please visit a local chiropractor. This is something that's standard care. All chiropractors know how to do it. It's not a complicated procedure. It doesn't require acupuncture or anything else at all. It's simply a gentle adjustment to the base of the skull and what's called the atlas, the first vertebrae. When the head's slightly twisted or the inflammation there, all it takes is a little chiropractic nudge in that area. And most of the time, you get instantaneous results. A few times it takes one or a couple treatments to get it to stabilize and not come back. But I've got hundreds of almost adults now, I hate to say I've been doing this long enough, that we did this procedure one when they were a child. They had been having ear infections sometimes for months, sometimes for years. Once the chiropractor gets his hands on them, straightens that issue right under the skull out, the Eustachian tube begins to drain properly. You put the child on probiotics or good bacteria to replenish the gut and replenish the symbiotic relationship with the bacterial world, and the child never has a problem again. I just had another one this week. She's very young, like 6 months old. Went to the medic. They gave her the antibiotics. She remembered to come here. She didn't take the antibiotics. We did an adjustment. Instantly, the child stopped tugging on her ears. That was last week. I did a follow-up on her this week. No problem. Hasn't returned. The vertebra stayed in place. Everything's going to be wonderful for this baby. Great mom. Very caring people. So think of chiropractic as your option. Chiropractors are physicians. They can talk to you about any condition you have. They have training in all aspects of the human condition, from emotions to physical to organic, even cancers. They don't necessarily have treatments for cancers in their office, but they can guide you into an educational background and educational ways of handling it yourself. The internet's an amazing place. We have a wonderful opportunity these days to educate ourselves and be responsible for our own bodies. It makes me very excited to be a chiropractor in the 21st century. I look forward to serving you for many years to come. And with that, I think it's the end of our show, isn't it? I'm really starting to warm up now. It's always how it works. So you guys have an awesome weekend. Enjoy the fall weather out there. It's going to be glorious here in Kansas City, and I hope it's that way whatever city you're living in. I love you all. This is Dr. Drumright. Call me at 416-936-9355. I'd love to talk to you in person. Otherwise, drop me a line at harmonyhealth.com and keep an eye out on our new videos. Thank you, Todd.
What a vicar would prize in you. And talk to the man if you feel he needs talking to. And the hobbit on the rocks is crying. And the fish upon the docks are dying, yeah. There's an orchestra in rococo and an insulated dwarf, and the ships are sinking in the sea as they sail from the shore. Don't criticize what a vicar with pride in you, and the hobbit on the rocks. Memories.